Yeah, but everybody's doing it. And so, Dave, I was just looking. They're doing those, specific headshots. So I guess, Rob, with the social media, it's important to have a good headshot.
Yeah, we haven't done, we did those team pictures, Rick, for our, for the website back. I think that was
at least three,
four years ago, maybe.
Probably
so.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really smart, guys. I mean, you know, just make a date to do it every 2 years and just update it.
Well, this is something that Emily actually put together for the whole office. So, the guy's going to be here all day. They set up some different times for everybody to come in and do all this kind of stuff. And she did it for the other office and, other ones too. So I think that also, Rob, makes it happen for everybody.
I know, because you leave it up to FAs and it's going to, that could take 2 years.
Well, exactly. And there's actually a couple not doing them, Dave. I'm surprised.
What? Yeah, I mean.
I know, it's a freebie. I mean, we hired the photographer individually.
Why would they do that?
Go figure, right?
Laziness, Rob. It's laziness. That's all it is. Because you have to get dressed and, I think people are just lazy.
You have to come to the office even.
Yep.
So we are still, I'm in the office obviously now. I'm starting to come back and we still are, but there's only a handful of us in here. The support staff has been coming in regularly, but I've actually enjoyed coming in now.
All right. So let me ask you, normally I just ask you what's on your mind, but I've got a couple of questions because I think it's important. You're talking about social media, updating your social media. The other topic is really the updating of Supernova and what that means in terms of technology and whether or not that is, where are you guys in terms of use of folders, consistently using folders and using the tools that you have, the CRM systems and
I can tell you that easily. I mean, honestly, Rob, we've gone, to our CRM, instead of
we have digital folders, Rob. So we actually have a shared drive where for every meeting and all the notes and everything, Margaret has individual client folders, right? All online where we can access. So again, we do have client folders. They're just all now in digital form and they're accessible by all three of us. At any point in time, no matter what location we're at, is kind of the way.
And I think, because of especially with what happened in the last year and a half, I'm glad we did, we have that. Because otherwise, we have those folders like in my drawer behind us. That's where they all, when Margaret would all, we would do that. But it just, I guess that is something that really, to rethink. But we've gone, digital.
Okay. In terms of what system are you using?
We use our own UBS system, whatever we have. It's, I don't even know what it is. What is it, Dave?
I mean, it's not Salesforce. I forget what CRM, like third-party vendor we use, Rob, but it's the, whatever vendor we use. I think Morgan Stanley might use Salesforce. I forget who we use. We use a different provider, but, so we have our – every meeting we have, we do our whole summary and our notes and everything like that. Margaret then puts all of our notes and PMR performance reports and all that stuff in a folder for that specific client on a share drive. So
yeah,
we have a process of making sure we get all of our notes in. And, before every meeting, we go into the share drive, we open it up, we see, here was our PMR from last time. Here were our notes. So we do all that review before we hop on the subsequent call with the client.
And I guess what it does, from a compliance standpoint, it's like you always said, it's a home run. But from our point of view, all we have to do is go to that CRM and say, oh yeah, here's what we talked about the last time and, or whatever. And, we're current with everybody. It just works. And I guess we've adapted for COVID, but it just the reality of where we're at today. I mean, we're not all in the office at the same time and all those other kind of things. So.
One of the challenges then is the other contents of the folder. Okay. Which, nobody pays too much attention to, but are really important and have become tools to leverage your practice. And those would be things like the enthusiastically endorsed list.
Yeah.
Right. So what happens to those? They don't exist.
It's sort of, it's not tight. Let's put it that way. It's not tight.
All right. How about the, like introductions given and received?
We're starting on that.
But it's not in your CRM system.
No.
Okay.
So we're making that like a one-off.
We tried to start, Rob, we had spreadsheets, and that was kind of a project that we worked on last week in terms of like, you know, a prospect type of list. And when and Margaret actually does still keep a list though of like people, both clients and prospects, and just kind of touch points, from a scheduling standpoint. But yeah, I don't think there's in our CRM, at least we haven't figured out like how do you create those different lists and manage those types of lists. So that's, I think, a little bit of an area we got to work on.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know. I guess this CRM, Dave, is not customizable. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we put in advisory notes. We put in notes. We put in, all
it's
those
not
other
the Cadillac. Things. It's not the Cadillac of CRM software. I'll put it that way. I would say UBS skims on it a little bit. But
does it give you a pipeline tool for tracking prospects and things?
No.
I don't believe so.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So I'm going to here's what's happening. I was introduced to a company that, because of what we're doing with, Supernova Scholars, this company was interested in supporting our charitable work, right? And they wanted to donate to us. But they're in the CRM business and they're out of London. And they said, for anybody that signs up, we'll give you half the proceeds of the sales. And right. I said, that's pretty nice they said like 10%, and I said half. And they said, okay. So the idea is that they're developing a real complete version of Supernova in a digital form, which would include everything that you would have and want. And I spend every Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning talking to London and they're building it out. And, I need some guinea pigs to try it, but I'm not sure that, that you guys would be in a position to be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Because you'd have to turn over names and things like that. I mean, you're not even allowed probably to use an outside CRM system, right?
No.
We're not allowed to use outside like anything, Rob.
Right.
I mean, unless it's an approved, like if you want to house any client information in anything internally, it has to be all, you know, UBS approved and blessed, et cetera.
I guess the folders we got away with the folder thing because of the fact you kept them in the office, right?
Yeah.
And nobody saw them but you guys.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd say
happened to all the other CRM systems? Are those guys out of business or what? They're just.
I have no idea. Everything is funneled down to us. I mean, you know, it is Dave said, it's tight. I mean, they want to control data.
Do you remember that gold mine and all those other things that we used to use, for prospecting? I guess they must be used by insurance guys or something. Who knows? Anyway, okay. So that answers that. So I would have to displace what you're using on a national level in order to have that work for us.
Yeah. I think that could take a little chance, just like you tried to get the national level involved in your scholars program. You saw how it reaches a level and then it's like,
goodbye. Yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? So, you know, they're kind of driving all of us to the independent routes, which is.
Well, I guess that's the area that would work. Obviously, right?
Yeah, so that's who I'll have to practice out on and see if I can. I'll develop it, get it ready, and then I'll give it I'll run it up the flagpole with you guys and see if I can get somewhere. But everybody else is using Salesforce. I guess this is compatible with Salesforce, but we'll see. I don't want to kill myself on these things, but I, you know, everybody's been waiting for years for a Supernova that was online.
Yeah.
And I finally get somebody that won't charge me $200,000 to build it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm pretty excited. Okay. Internet marketing. What are you guys doing with internet marketing?
Again, minimally, I guess we, you know, posting on LinkedIn and it's done on a random basis. I found, you know, we have all the content in the world, Rob, all the content every day, every week, every whatever. What I found whenever I do post something, the ones that get the looks or the, you know, the, are the ones when we do on, you know, our personal events.
Yeah.
That's what drives, I mean, hundreds of thousands of, I mean, of views and look, but it's like our tennis events, our holiday. Now, the holiday event, we had a scrap. We had
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
COVID?
Yep. Well, it was a UBS rule that we can only have X number of people. And, you know, so Ted and Emily, we couldn't squeeze it. I mean, we would have had well in excess of that. And, you know, we couldn't do it. So what Dave and I have been doing, and that would have been last Thursday, actually, it was the night and everybody understood in a way. But what we've been doing is setting individual luncheons and dinners with, you know, select clients. And yeah, we're doing that stuff. And then I will get something from this choir that performs every year, the high school choir, which is their elite choir. They're going to do a digital performance that I send to everybody. We did it last year. It was amazing during COVID. So, but they're going to do one again that we're going to send out as a, you know, holiday, piece for them. And it's good. Everybody loves it. So, but we're scrambling now to, just, you know, meet with everybody, get, you know, because right now it's trying to schedule these things. Everybody is overscheduled for the month of December, but we're squeezing them in where we can.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so social media, like I said, UBS has so much content, and I have to say, Rob, even I don't look on LinkedIn maybe once a week if I'm lucky, because it's just, it's too much. It's like going down that rabbit hole. I don't want to go there.
I just met with a Putnam, you know, this is weird, but I keep up on social media pretty well. Just because I'm always curious. And, yeah. And, I met a guy randomly. I thought he worked for Touchstone. I got a nice relationship with Touchstone, and they pay for, you know, like you guys want to do something, they'd pay for it. And, online, you know, and, or feature me as a speaker to FAs in your office or something, they'll pay. And the same with a couple other firms, but Putnam was one of my original companies. And, but I thought this guy worked for Touchstone. So I was really excited because it was a local guy in Nashville. I go out to meet him. He works for Putnam. That's okay. Well, you know, yeah,
doesn't matter.
You're still good. Right. And he invited me to his country club for lunch, and we had a lovely lunch, but it turns out he's kind of developed a business on the side for helping FAs and others market. And I've got a guy, Bruce Johnston, who used to work for Conseco, who does the same thing. And I recommend him to people, you know, to improve their business. But this guy's really impressive. He charges $3,000. He gives 4 sessions, and he basically guarantees results. Now, he can't charge you guys because he's in the industry. So he does it for, you know, other sales organizations. But if you do business with Putnam, we could probably arrange for him to do some training for you guys.
Well, and Dave, who was the guy, the Putnam guy that's your buddy now that you live by you?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a Putnam guy anymore, though. He's a Janus guy now, but yeah.
Yeah. But he's the one. I think Putnam must have that program.
He used to do the same thing. So Dan Shannon used to be Do you know Dan?
Yeah.
All right. So Dan, and he lives right around the corner from me, and our kids are all the same ages. So we're friends now. You know, we're friendly now, but he moved from Putnam to Janus, but he was the Putnam. He came into our UBS kickoff meetings or whatever. And he did his whole, you know, LinkedIn, social media. They had like a whole, and he was very good at it. That was kind of his little foray into getting close with some of the FAs at UBS was through, let me help you with your marketing and LinkedIn and, you know, posting things and how to do and navigate and meet people. So I think Putnam has like a program around that.
Which was interesting. They didn't talk, you know, they didn't come out there, promoting their product. They did it, try to add a service to gain, which was smart. And so we all, you know, it's a different angle because normally wholesalers would say, no, we're not interested in coming in. And, but Dan, everybody, you know, saw him because he was able to provide ideas. So, now you do know Dan, huh? He moved.
I don't know where I met him, but I just remember him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he moved from Putnam to Janus, I guess, in the last whatever. Yeah. But I agree. I mean, those are good. It's like, but I don't know. I'm just being honest.
Well, I'm thinking of David as much, you know, young, this guy was unbelievable because I was like, do you have a business card? And he said, no, we don't use business cards anymore. we just give me your phone and, you know, and Zoom. He gave me his business card on the phone, right? And that goes right in your contact system. It's just different with these younger guys. They're completely, he goes to work at the country club at 5 a.m.
What?
He goes to work at the country club at 5 a.m. He works out and he begins his day at 6 and he does all his business, all his Zoom calls, everything from the country club. He's got different rooms reserved at different times and he just sees, there's 560 members. It's one of the big, it's the like the nicest country club I've seen in a long time. Fabulous golf course, beautiful place. It's kind of the heart of Brentwood, which is one of the most affluent places in Tennessee. And I mean, his revenues, when he took over he was doing like 76,000, he said, in revenues when he took over the territory 4 years ago, and they're doing close to 600,000 now. Wow. So whatever exactly that translates into, I don't know, but, he's just exploding, and he said his business is just going crazy. And he said he's on LinkedIn all the time.
Wow.
And he has this expression, being present even when you're absent.
Yeah.
I kind of love that because, you know, 12-4-2 is great, and really it's more like 48 with the, you know, you set up the appointment, you have the agenda, you give them the executive summary. There's probably 48 touches in there.
Yeah.
But the idea of being present in your clients' minds, even when you're absent, is kind of a neat idea. And it's particularly, think about it for him. He's just like you. And it's like you in terms of referrals. It's in him in terms of being very competitive and having people think, I need something that's a little different from what I usually, there's a smaller client. I need a mutual fund or something. Oh, Putnam. So it's share of mind, really, right? It's getting his name and his presence in your brain as many times as he can. And that's what he does with LinkedIn, which I thought was pretty interesting. How he found me, he said on Veterans Day, he goes in and he scans all the veterans that are in his, and he said there were about, I don't remember, like 250 veterans, and he sent them all a thank you. Thank you for your service.
Wow.
On Veterans Day. And that's what got me.
Wow.
I mean, so I responded. Thanks a lot for noticing.
Wow. And then did he reach back out to you? How did you guys connect then? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, then he reached back out and he told me, you know, and he said, you know, you want to get together? And I said, sure, I'd love to. And so we had a nice lunch, and I think he's kind of a, you know, you look, Rick, you know, I know when I meet a star, right? I'm hunting. It doesn't matter if you're retired. I'm always hunting for money, and I'm hunting for talent. It's just part of what I do. It's my, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always hunting, always searching. And, it's just, you did it for, you know, you did it for 40 years. You're going to do it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I saw, you know, high energy, super nice guy, man, knew everybody in the club. I mean, it was kind of amazing. So
awesome.
I think it's, you know, lifestyle. He said he spent 3 days away from home last year.
That's it?
3 days. Think of that job. You're traveling all the time, right?
Yeah.
3 days. He said, wow. I'd probably be 1 or 2 days this year.
That's amazing. Well, you know, that whole industry has changed. I mean, I'm like, sometimes we say, you know, I'm grateful that we're on this side of the table and not doing the wholesaling job or something like that, or even a management job right now with UBS, because it's a different animal. I mean, we're very fortunate. And like I tell Dave, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, we're in this position that we're in.
Well, you got to do things for people like Emily's doing for you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the issues that keep you from having the perfect model? How can I make those things easier for you to get more convenient, get rid of the speed bumps, make life better and improve let's bring everybody together and get their picture taken. Therefore, we're all updated. Everybody, it's a round to it. She just hands you a round to it, right?
Yeah. No, this is huge, because even though that would be on our list of, we just did those. But that's like 4 years ago.
Right. So one of the things to think about is kind of make a list of the round to it's for your clients. What are the things that they really need to do that they never get around to doing? Meeting with their estate planning attorney. Right?
Yeah.
That's one of them. I don't know. I don't know what all the things are, right? But if you can make a list of those and then you be the Emily, you're actually adding value. And you think, that's not a big thing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And those are idiots in your office that don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's just.
Well, no, it's true. I mean, it's a freebie. Cause like I said before.
You're gonna have no picture. It's like guys on LinkedIn that have no picture. I'm like, why are you even on here? Get off. You know, it's kind of that, or their pictures are old, or they have a great team and it's, you know, 5 years old picture. It's silly. But anyway, I think we all have to adopt and adapt and change and figure out how to win in every environment. And I think with Zoom, it's brought us a huge amount of leverage in terms of productivity. I think you guys can do a lot more business in the same amount of time without increasing the number of clients, literally without even maybe getting, you know, that many more big clients. I think it increases your leverage.
No, I think it's good.
What can you think of in terms of other things that clients procrastinate on that they should do?
Well, one of the things that you just hit me, Rob, was, you know, because just like, you know, the way Dave, like I said, is working with me and this other team. So I'm not a LinkedIn guy. I mean, it doesn't like drive me to get on there and respond and do this, that. I just don't do that. I think the younger generation definitely does that. But it just dawned on me to like, this could be, I guess we'd have to get approval if we can get one of the younger, tech savvy person just to do that part for us.
Well, one of your competitors has a whole team of about 120 people that they assigned to do this for you guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you need the firm to have, I mean, we have like a tech specialist, but we have like one tech specialist and they're not really marketing people. They're just like technology people, but you need an actual like you know, whether it's a social media slash marketing type team for website, LinkedIn, and they can help execute.
You know, what a think about that. I mean, that makes so much sense, Rob. Like you were just saying what Emily just did for us. I'm sure you hear this. I mean, I think your guy at the country club is the rare exception who is really jumping at this. But when we look at that, I mean, and I would just think others are like us, especially if you have an old, you know, that's not my thing to get on social media a lot. But for the firm to provide that, for the advisors to almost like, you know, do it for us?
Well, they pay. You pay, but you don't pay that much. It costs, it costs you about, I think $3,000 a year to have somebody working for you all the time. Now they, they will handle about six different teams. They work out of, you know, New Jersey or something. They call them virtual engagement associates. I'm not under any contract with any other firm to not disclose, so I'll share with you guys, but they're called VEAs and they're young people out of college. It's a great way to get them into our business, kind of like working at the advisory center.
Right.
But they literally are assigned to you. You pay for them, so they're accountable to you, and you meet with them every week and they tell you what they're doing marketing for you.
Interesting.
So when you engage in a marketing initiative, so say we have our 24-month calendar, right?
Yeah.
Which is another thing that's in the folder that you need to get into some kind of virtual folder. Mm-hmm. So the 24-month calendar, you may have eight new initiatives that you're going to do during the year. So this month is reviewing beneficiaries for all your clients, right? We're going to do that for 2 months, manage their risk. And so he would help you with that. He would diagnose your practice, look for those people, see what who owned annuities and so forth. And then, then if you wanted to do a seminar on that, he would arrange for the whole thing, do a virtual seminar, and have your clients on there or your prospects talking about, you know, the problems with people not having the proper beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that it's just, I'm just using that example. It could
I guess we might be, I'm just, when you said that and having somebody else looking at your book and getting your information, that sounds like another one of those, you know, sharing data type stuff.
But they work for the firm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh yeah. They work for the firm. They're inside the firm.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's why I mean, even though you pay, but they make you pay for it, which I like.
Right. You know, I like it in the game.
Because it's going to, yes, it's, they're in the game, but it's a sustainable unit rather than them giving you something. And then as soon as the first recession comes, they cut it. Right. Yeah. This is a profit center for them.
Interesting.
So you want it to be a profit center. So, mm-hmm. so it sustains itself. So a good thing doesn't go away because, you know, UBS used to have 65 training managers out there in the field. Do you remember that? They had, they had when the Swiss first took over, they thought that that was a great idea and all those guys are gone.
We even have a training program, Dave. I don't even know.
Your guess is as good as mine these days.
You know, I don't even know if we even have a training program, Rob, because
Merrill Lynch is putting everybody into the banks and making them tellers and crap like that. They got rid of their training. I mean, I'm telling you what, I'm disgusted by the industry right now. I'm so disappointed in the whole thing. I think they've lost complete touch with what made us great. And, you know, Dave's a good example of guys coming through a good program, but how many people can they put through your program, Dave?
No, they've cut everything,
they've
Rob.
Cut I mean, that I, back though. I don't even know. Cut. Do we even have a WPA now, Dave? I don't even know if we even have them anymore.
Think about it, Rick. You're not getting any younger. Who's going to, I mean, Dave's going to can take over your business, but what about where you don't have a Dave? Who's the next guy? Where are they coming from?
I hear you.
I hear Rob. It's the same story that I hear. I have some family friends and stuff that are accountants that are in their like 60s and same kind of story. They're saying, you know what? I kind of want to transition my business. The problem is there are no people, let's say in my demographic in their, you know, 30s or even 40s that want to take over kind of a private CPA type practice. So I think there's that shortage of next gen in terms of my generation and let's say their 30s that the 60 something year olds are looking to transition to and they're having problems. And, you know, I think it's not just our business and it's the training. It's also the interest in being in this business. And Rick and I always talk about the fact that this isn't the sexiest business when you're in, and Rob, even we talked about this, when we were doing some of the, you know, training type conversations. It's just not the sexiest business. If you're in your 20s and coming out of college to become a financial advisor or to become a CPA in a private practice, it's not the sexy thing. So people are going more private equity and hedge funds and, you know, it's still an investment banking to some degree, but even investment banking isn't sexy anymore. Oh, it's long hours and there's not immediate gratification. It's this whole movement of I need to be like my own boss day one and I need to make boatloads of money day one. And that is not our this business specifically. That is not this business. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it does not entice a lot of young people to join the business. And the training programs have all been cut dramatically. And what young people want to get into a business where the training and opportunities don't seem to be there.
So are how are you guys ending the year? Did you have a good year in terms
of? It's going to be a great year. It'll be, great year. You know, it'll be a fantastic year. We did not raise 100 million of net new, Rob, like, but still it's, I mean, obviously look at that. We are fortunate. And like we say, because we're fee based, I mean, I'm like 90% fee based. We've ridden the market, which has helped our business, our
of
production and everything else. And I don't like we were out last, so Dave, Margaret and I, we did our year end. We had a dinner last Friday night and drank a lot of wine and reviewed the year. But, you know, as the old saying goes, we can't confuse brilliance with a bull market because, you know, we've been around enough and just trying to get that. So, and Dave gets it. But so being a fee-based advisor, we are going to benefit from this, from the, you know, what everything is done. And we don't want to get complacent because of that. Let's face it. That has a big impact.
No. I mean, we've had almost a double, right?
Right. So, well, from the low of, you know, March of where we were in 2020. Yeah. But we're very, I mean, I guess I'm more of the, like, yes, I'm a numbers guy, but you know, it's the quality of the business that I think we're most proud of. We're doing the right thing and serve, you know, taking care of our clients, gaining that trust where they can enthusiastically endorse us. Because if they're working with us, not only the money side, but we're also dealing with the, you know, the emotional side of them. We've helped many people this year. I mean, obviously going through deaths and, you know, we've seen, you know, much of that. And now who are they turning to? You know, so we are guiding them through that whole process of what they need to do. You know, doing that just you're their clients for life. And we have multiple generations of clients because I've been doing this for a long time and we are really assisting the next generation. And what a wonderful feeling it gives to the parents that when we're helping the kids, they don't have our minimums, Rob. I'm sorry to say that, but we view it as a family relationship. And ultimately Dave's going to get those counts, you know, 10, 20 years from now. And, you know, they're going to be, you know, $10 million counts.
Of course they are. Yeah. So, no, I've always said Butlers. Remember Butlers?
Right. Yeah.
For once.
We're Butlers and we're doing these things. But the value that it puts on, do we see immediate money from that? Nope. But are we going to see the benefit? Like Dave's, we always say it's a marathon. I mean, if we're looking for short-term gratification, you know, that's what killed it. I mean, when I started this business in the 80s, that's all we were doing. It was, you know, boom, boom, boom. It was a cold call. It was, you know, let's get a new account. Let's open up something. Let's do a trade.
Right.
it's a longer game now. And so
yeah, I would tell you, Rob, the numbers, just the numbers behind it. So if we look at like 2019 from a revenue standpoint, where we ended to where we are end of 21. So, you know, in that 2 years, and again, a lot of it is, you know, growth through the markets, but you know, I think we've become very efficient. You know, we brought in new assets. Those assets are finally kind of producing over the last couple of years. I think our business is up. So we were doing about 1.1 million in 2019. We're going to be doing about 1.8 million this year. Wow. So we're up about 65%, if the math is correct. So we're up, yeah, we're up about 65% cumulatively over the last 2 years on a revenue standpoint. And yeah, the market's probably up, I don't know, 50% in that same time frame. So, you know, a lot of it's market driven, but, yeah, I mean,
what'd you do in 20?
2020 we did. Let me bring that up. Good question. We did about 1.4. So we went from about, I mean, it's been fairly, cause it, we probably did like 1.1 to 1.4 to 1.8. If you look at the last 3 years, of where kind of the production numbers will end up, which is pretty impressive. I mean, that was, you know, the last couple years.
How many guys are doing that?
I mean, grown at a 30% clip. I don't think that many. I'm assuming a lot of people are having good years, record years, but I mean, I think our growth has been, you know, pretty strong. And then from an asset standpoint, we've probably brought in.
Yeah, give me 19, 20, and 21 if you got it.
Yeah, so we probably brought in 19, we brought in about 11 million. 2020, we probably brought in about, 2020, we probably brought in like 15 million, 16 million. And this year that probably is the one, I'd say if you're going to pick out one disappointing number, for the last 3 years, I'd say the net new assets for this year, we're probably only in that like $5 to $6 million range. In terms of net new assets this year. So that would probably be the one thing if we're talking about, you know, what can we work on, right?
What are your assets now?
Assets are now, about $230 million, $240 million. Our ROA is about, we've been very consistent. Our ROA is probably right around, 80 basis points.
Look, this is fine. The question is, you know, what do you deserve? And where's the money going? Is it going to guys that have a bigger heart as you? I challenge you with that.
No, I think it's probably going to guys that are more aggressive than us. Right. It's definitely not going to people who are doing a better job managing relationships or money
Is it going to somebody that cares more about their clients or takes better care of their clients?
No.
My mission was always to protect the world from the Bernie Madoffs of the world.
Yeah.
And to be a maniac about it and not be embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
And just say,
Rob, we still see, I mean, you've witnessed it in your career. I've witnessed it in my career. All the ones who are out there, you know, for that short term, you know, they could come across as slick. They could come, you know, but I always say it's consistent, disciplined, and repeatable is the key.
Right.
But, you know, those other ones are just out there for, and it's so, I mean, you can see it. They're going to crash and burn at some point, but how many people are they taking down with them?
That's the thing. That's what I want to challenge you guys with. Are you protecting the public? Are you being the police for our industry by making sure that those guys never get in a client? Not by damaging them, but by getting the clients first. Mm-hmm. By you being more smarter, not slick, smarter, by being aggressive, patiently aggressive. Persistently aggressive, politely aggressive.
I think that's the difference for me. Cause you know, like me, I hate it just like rubs. I don't want to come across as slick, the slick promoter.
Well, let me tell you something. You know what I wrote down? We want to be the first call you make when you have a challenge.
Mm.
I like that.
What do you mean? Well, listen, good things happen to you and bad things happen to you. We want to be the people that you call when you have a problem, when you have a challenge, when someone's very ill.
Yeah.
We want to be the first call you make if a loved one is in trouble. Think about that. That's who you guys really want to be, but I don't think you tell anybody that. And I don't think they know that. And you may be the first call they make, but it's not because you market it that way.
No.
Rick, you're a true believer. You know, well, I mean, you believe. I mean,
no question.
Strong, yeah. Christian faith. You've got you're a servant leader. You're what the public needs. You just have to get the message out there, and you got to get your messengers out there. Jesus did it with 12 disciples.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of centers of influence.
Yeah.
Maybe this year our commitment is to get 12 disciples.
Yeah.
I like that.
Celebrate the holidays and the birth of Christ with getting 12 disciples.
We definitely have
cheerleaders or disciples. We have to preach the gospel a little bit more. We gotta have some canvassing going on.
Here's the thing. One of the things to think about is this idea of being present even when you're absent. Okay?
Yeah.
So you call those guys. I guarantee you don't call them every month. Okay? Right. Those centers of influence. I want you to call them every month. They're your disciples. They're your sales force. And tell them what you're doing. Tell them the good works that you do. And remind them of what you do for the people whose families had a death and they passed, and you helped them and they were all taken care of and better off because of you.
Okay. That's why, like I said earlier, when we looked at the last year, yes, there's a numbers part, but I also look at the quality emotional part of doing the right thing, and that for me is more rewarding, Rob, than the money part. I mean, that's so, like,
I know
I said,
that. And that's why you have to be patiently persistent, pleasantly persistent, and politely persistent. And just keep doing it, Rick. You can't give up. The problem is inconsistency of practice.
Right.
It's plan, process, and rituals.
Yeah.
Plan, process, and rituals. If you can do it every day, just do three things every day that are going to advance your practice.
Well, that's a good one to leave it on, Rob.
But, okay, that's what I'm here for.
I love it. And look, I want to wish you and your family a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. And again, I think we resonate, Rob, because we're connected in many different ways. And I think doing the right thing, but also with all these other pieces of, using your, not only your physical, your emotional, everything together, it's a package and it all has to work in sync. And we get that. And it's like,
I know. You guys, you're going to have a big year. I got to keep being the coach though at halftime.
Absolutely, Rob.
I like it. You got to make the adjustments. Belichick.
Right.
You're like Bill Belichick, Rob. You're like Bill Belichick. Got to make those halftime adjustments.
Exactly.
Halftime adjustments.
But we are grateful, Rob, for the relationship and the friendship and the coaching and everything else like that.
Thank
because,
you.
We keeps us moving in the right direction.
Thank you guys so
all
much.
All right. All the best.
Yes, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. See ya.
Merry Christmas,
bye.
Rob. Talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.